Excited for this. I can't wait.
I'm excited because there, I saw this meme the other day, gentlemen, that there were like thousands of Christmas songs, but only Thin Lizzy was brave enough to record a song about the boys being back in town. And that is exactly what we have tonight. We have Alex, we've got Jesse Tarbell, our founding sponsor from Sterling Street Brewery, and of course, Maddie, as always. Jess, welcome back to the show. This is our One Night in Pinehurst holiday edition right now.
Honor and a pleasure. Gibby, Maddie P, AB, my captain. Great to see you all.
AB is not pleased with that.
Is Thin Lizzy Lizzo? Is that the same person?
It's actually Bizarro Lizzo.
It's 1980. Alex didn't pick up the reference. But anyway, Jesse, exciting news this year with Sterling Street Brewery. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what's been going on and what's to come in the year, you know, the next year, 2 years.
Sure. Yeah. So it's been a good year at the brewery. Pretty full, busy year front to back. A lot of different events, had a lot of new events in-house and out of house. So that went really well. Had the opportunity to work with a lot of charities, had the opportunity to work with a lot of other breweries. So it was a cool year. It was a fun year. But I think what you're alluding to and some of the more exciting news is that Sterling Street Brewery will be expanding in the spring time frame, we'll call it, 2024. We will be opening our second location, which will be located in Devens, Mass., which is about 20 minutes or so from where we are now, but has an entirely different population group that we'd be going for demographic wise. And a really cool partnership with the Pathway Group and King Street Property, who we're partnering with on this project.
Nice.
Does this entice you to change your membership status at a particular golf course? Does this do anything for you there?
We will always be loyal to the SNCC, okay. But what works in their favor, I suppose, is that Red Tail technically does not have any memberships. So.
Oh, that's true. They're one of those clubs. Okay. All right. Well.
But frequent guest visits are certainly.
Well, you have to get on tap over there for sure.
What's 100%. That?
You have to get on the tap over there for sure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. We'll work on that for sure.
That's awesome.
So we can get gingerbread snuggles is readily available this time of year, correct?
It sure is. And it's one of my favorite things when a big burly fella such as yourself walks up and orders a couple of gingerbread snuggles. Yeah, nothing more pleasing for the year.
Gibby's a full bear. This time of year, he goes full bear.
Oh, yeah.
He's in the woods walking around. Actually, I was going to tell you, I'd like you to be, are you wearing any reflective gear while you're pacing after a Broncos loss? Because you could be mistaken for a bear, and I don't want that for you.
We are close to the woods, and I've got the hunter's gear, even though I'm not an active hunter.
Listen, but I knew we weren't getting through this broadcast without some reference to the Broncos, so I'm just going to lean into this. I had the pleasure of seeing Gibby's walking shoes today, and those things are destroyed. And his only response was, they've seen a couple midnight treks in the woods.
Precisely six or seven, maybe. I don't know, give or take.
Exactly seven so far.
Gibby's upset about the game time for this weekend. He took umbrage today when I asked him about the game on Christmas Eve night. He didn't like that it's at 8:15.
So this is kind of a mess, this Sunday night Christmas Eve game. And there's nothing I'm looking more forward to than the Broncos Patriots game. Other than Christmas. And the kids are going to be going to sleep at like 8:30. You know, Santa's got to do his work, and I can't pay full attention to the game. And also, it's a little bit of a letdown. Like, the Patriots aren't really playing for anything, and all the Patriots fans that I would love to get a win over are rooting for the Broncos to win for draft position.
Yeah, so you can't beat us.
It's the most anticlimactic. Like,
you can't win. You should have known this was going to be one of the possible outcomes. I told you at the beginning of the year, if they were bad, I was bailing.
I know.
Can't even beat the Patriots when we're bad, Gibby.
Well, yeah. So that's the thing. Like, I had a feeling.
You can't win.
We can't, right?
Lose, and lose.
Like, I know that this is the game that is going to screw up the Broncos chance. If they win out, they've got an 80% chance of making the playoffs, right? Because all the NFC North
teams, or
AFC North teams are playing each other, et cetera, right? Like, so just based on if the Broncos finish 10-7, and they've got the Patriots, the Chargers without Herbert.
We got to get one of those buzzers, AB. I just thought of it.
Well, anyway, I know.
We need the dump button. We've been asking for a producer to get the dump button.
Can I get a hook?
It's going to ruin Christmas for everyone. With that being said, Alex, your turn. You're up. We got to build a million-dollar lineup for
them. Hey, 3 weeks straight, we're in the money. Let's see if we can
You know, and I got to say 3 weeks straight, I think that the AB's picks of the week have been paying dividends.
The common denominator.
This week we're going to continue hot hand. We're not going really off script. We're not going real deep. We're going Ty Chandler this week because Madison's out. He's done, right? Ty Chandler's proven to be more efficient, more effective. What do you get? 23 attempts last week for 132 yards, and he's catching a couple passes. So if this guy has a ceiling of, let's call it 25-30, yep, and a floor of 10 if he continues his workload, he's going to be worth it at 6,900.
Yeah, the Lions aren't – we talked about this too. Like, the Lions aren't a team that we're necessarily targeting because you said we're not getting cute. It's late in the year. The guys with the volume are the guys we're chasing. When volume and a lack of a defensive – presence on the other side converge, then we're in business. This one is just all volume. And Kevin O'Connell has been talking about Ty Chandler all week about how they want to feed him and feature him, and he's the bell cow. Like, this stuff happens at the end of the year. Weird guys just pop up and get a bunch of work. I think all of our running backs this week are in this case.
Is he going to be in like the RB1, like first round for season-long fantasy drafts next year? Yeah. Like,
you know what he feels like? It's like a new DeMarco Murray from like 5 years ago.
Okay.
He's a guy who will share that backfield with whoever they draft next year because Madison's dust and he stunk before this. So they're going to draft somebody in like the third round and those guys will play. It'll kind of be like what Seattle's got going on.
Yeah.
They'll draft a Charbonnet type and they'll end up splitting the backfield, but you're not signing a running back. So him finishing the year strong means he's going to be at least half of a committee next year. He's not bad.
I'd say the only chance he has to see a little bit more work next year is that, admittedly, right now, the RB draft class isn't looking too deep. So yeah,
they might just keep Madison for another year because he's got a lot of dead money and then you know he's going to get work. So,
but well, the Vikings' cute little story about Dobbs is over, right? So they got to have some new storyline here.
Yep. Yeah, he's out. Finally. Mercifully, he was let go. He got Sanders.
Because you guys won't let me spend money, I'm going to steal another one.
Yeah, spend it.
I'm just taking a second pick here this week, whether you like it or not.
Yeah.
And it's going to be who I like to call Chuba, but I believe it's Chuba Hubbard for the Panthers. And that team sucks, but he is the one ray of sunshine, I guess you could call it, on that team. That he's getting the volume, he's getting the workload. They get a juicy matchup, and I think that, you know, he's got a ceiling of 20 points this week for a cheap price.
Yeah, this is the center of that Venn diagram, volume and matchup. Packers are like ninth worst in the league against the running back. Easy. Follow the volume. Follow Gibby.
Yeah. Right, no, I'm 25 done. Carries, 23, 22.
Yep.
So let's welcome in our guest, Jesse, for his first inaugural pick in the Billy Boys lineup. You are now entitled to $250,000 of the winnings. After this comes home.
Merry Christmas.
If it makes you feel better, don't be nervous because I haven't seen anything of my like.
No. No one's actually.
The government's got it. Rick's guys. It's gone. Don't worry about it.
They need it.
They need it. Yeah, they're working hard. Yeah.
They're like a charity this time of year, aren't they?
This time of year. Every year for the last 40 to 50.
All right. Well, we're going to stick in the running back zone here. We're actually, speaking of Rick, we're going to go with one of Rick's guys.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Rashad White out of Tampa Bay.
I like it.
Yeah, I think we're going with White this week my son loves Rashad White too. There's really no like top RB talent this week. There's no Kamara, there's no CMC, no Kyron Williams, James Cook, another Rick guy. Not a lot of those guys. So you're trying to find someone that's got that high floor, which I think he has. He's averaging about 20 opportunities a game. And I think since week 7, he's finished at least top 16 in the RB position. So this is less about Jacksonville, more about him. Granted, Jacksonville may not have a quarterback with Lawrence being concussed and then still not having a quarterback with CJ Beathard pretending to play the position. So White's the pick. It's my guy.
He hasn't scored below 13 points since
I've been riding him.
22nd.
Right? Yeah, like, but that's with a lot of 20 plus points mixed in there. So
exactly. And not a ton of touchdowns either. It's not like he's getting the CMC volume in terms of passing and touchdowns, but at the same time, like, he's still good for 15 to 22 points. So I love it, Jesse. Great job by you. Maddie, where are we going with quarterback?
I forgot about quarterback until we came back around to it. It's kind of a gross quarterback week. I think we just settled on, so we tried to work our way down the matchups poll and we wanted to see, you know, the first thing you check, who are the Commanders playing, but it's the Jets. And I think they may not even show up for the game. I heard they might not even play it. Who knows? Won't be very good, but there's nobody usable no matter who they start. So you work your way down the list and like the Eagles aren't on the slate and the Jaguars are, but that would require you to play Baker, which is not that bad of an option. So we kind of just made our way back up to Fields. Arizona is not stopping anybody on defense, and Kyler is looking like, I mean, he turned that game into a shootout for at least a half last week with basically nothing going on against the best team in the league. So it's Fields. It's, why not? Like, you know, he's kind of, I think he feels like he probably is in an audition spot now too for whoever is going to trade for him. Cause there's just, it's just like so hard to visualize the Bears going a fourth year with him when they can get a quarterback and control him for 4 to 5 years. So yeah, we just stuck with Fields. Gross week.
It's a gross week.
And let's just say, looking at Gibby's screenshot here, the sixth best option projection is Nick Mullins.
Yeah, right. That tells you everything, right? You're not going to play Jared Goff. And there's probably going to be a lot of Dak and Tua. I think that game could shoot out, but it didn't work for the lineup.
I think those two go real high drafted this week.
Yep, agree.
But Dak crapped the bed last week and really ruined my season-long FanDuel league, but...
Is this the first time in the history of the Millie Boys that you guys have started with four straight running backs?
I saw what you did there.
See, that's one of those jokes I wish Rick would have heard, and he never will. Maybe he will. He should.
I love it. Yeah, no, I don't think we've played four running backs, but we did play Fields a few weeks ago. And
when we win, it'll be nice to tell that joke to the world.
Well, and the reason we were getting up to the three figure mark, and it was Fields late in the game, and it was DJ Moore. And so we're, you know, doing that stack again, and there's obviously a connection there. DJ Moore has, you know, I think three of the last 4 weeks been over 18 points. He's getting targeted. He's finding his way open, you know, when Fields is escaping the pocket. So he's seeing 9, 13, 10, 8 targets. And all he needs is one. But, you know, he's good for 75 yards and maybe he gets into the end zone a couple times. So I love DJ Moore there. And then the other wide receiver, the other Moore, Elijah Moore, kind of has something going on with Joe Flacco, which... It's shocking to me that Joe Flacco is relevant in 2023.
Mind blowing.
It is, but it's kind of fantastic. And he just seems like really happy to be playing football.
Would you rather Joe Flacco or Russ right now, quarterback in the Broncos?
No, I would rather Drew Lock than Joe Flacco.
You know why Gibby's upset about this? Is because Flacco has moved up on the favorites for comeback player of the year over.
Yep, that's exactly it. He's salty.
it's a crime against humanity.
Light that ticket on fire because you never should have put it in to begin with.
I watched 5 weeks of old Joe Flacco with the Denver Broncos, and I was clamoring for Drew Lock. And is there a better way to like end Monday Night Football than what Drew Lock did? Like the most genuine, vulnerable interview post game with Lisa Salters. You know, Drew Lock just made $20 million.
Also, there's a clip of him just getting terrified by DK Metcalf coming up behind him.
Yeah.
Did you see him post game looking for Hurts? He couldn't find him.
Yeah.
And he said something along the lines. He said, "Nah, he must have not been feeling well." Just took off.
So anyway, Elijah Moore, you know, 3 weeks ago against the Rams, 12 targets, didn't get into the end zone, but ended up with 10 points. And all he needs, I think the week Maddie really wanted to jam into a lineup, was he went off for 13, and he's super cheap. That's really all we need to say about Elijah Moore. And he's probably like their third target. And they've got Houston, who ends up giving up 25 to 30 points a game by accident.
Yeah, you don't win these late weeks without just like following trends. And the Browns are the number one neutral pass rate team in the last 5 weeks. Flacco's literally just chucked the ball. They didn't even run this offense with Watson. I mean, his arm was busted and he stinks, but they're throwing the ball literally 70% of their plays are passes. So they're just like, that's the volume where Flacco's probably going to throw two picks and four or five touchdowns and somehow 50 passes. Like, why not, right? And they're going to go to Moore and then Njoku, who we also have in there at tight end, who had 14 targets last week. Those are like intentional. Njoku? Yeah, those are very intentional targets. Like, he's feeding him the ball. Like, he's been scoring nonstop. So
yeah,
we are stacking Browns. What a world. We are stacking two Browns to Joe Flacco in the year 2023 of our Lord. What is happening?
A mutual friend of ours, Maddie, shared a stat with us the other day.
Mm-hmm.
So if you looked at this at the beginning of the year, you would have been like, this is crazy. But week 15 passing leaders. Number one, Baker Mayfield at 381.
Unreal.
Two, Joe Flacco at 374. Number three, Jake Browning at 324. Mahomes at 305. And then Nick Mullins at 303.
It's nuts. There's so much attrition. We're going to get so much turnover.
We'll be talking, we're going to get Case Keenum this week too. So, I mean, what a disaster for the NFL is Case Keenum.
They don't care.
Flacco on Sunday.
Who is Case Keenum?
They're out of Houston.
Houston. So
Stroud. Oh my God. I didn't even know that.
He went back there because he went to college there. They were just like, you want to be the backup? We probably won't need you. And now he's playing games. Like, it's so bad.
So we've got Calvin Ridley, who's probably going to be wide receiver somewhere other than Jacksonville next year at 6,800. And, you know, there's nothing like really to point to over the last 3 weeks other than the targets, 12 targets, 13 targets, 8 targets. So we're just following that lead and hoping that if it's who's their quarterback again?
Is Lawrence not playing? Somebody said today he had like a fake concussion.
Whoever it is just looks for Calvin Ridley, one of the best route runners in the NFL, right? And so if there's going to be a guy that's open, it's going to be him. Ingram is another option at tight end that I don't mind just for check downs, but
it's scary. He's got 25 targets over the past 2 weeks. How many of those balls would you say he's caught?
He's got 15 points off those 25 targets.
That's the thing. He's got 9 catches on 25 targets, and he's still scoring like 7 or 8.
It's bound.
He just needs a touchdown, and he's cheap, really, in the grand scheme of things.
He's under 7,000.
Yeah.
And then we are going to just roll with Seattle's defense. You know, nothing much else to say other than they're cheap.
9.5% projected sack rate this week in that matchup, and they're the cheapest defense, so.
Yeah, there you go. And maybe Witherspoon gets, or Reek Woolen gets a pick, or maybe a pick six. Or
Levis is good for some weird stuff.
He's still young. Levis might put up, like we said last week, right? Like, points don't matter. Picks, sacks, you know, strip sacks, etc. That's what scores you points.
He also didn't practice today because of his ankle. So there's a chance that Tannehill comes back to play.
Maddie, I think you had a couple questions for Jesse.
Oh yeah, I was thinking about you guys' rivalry and how much fun it is, because it's got so much depth to it. It's not like you were talking in the back room about how you, like, Bell was trolling you, and then you decided on a way to troll him back, but then you found out it actually wouldn't work. You guys are so many levels down into the troll process, which is a credit to a really nice rivalry. If you guys had to pick, each of you have to pick one of these rivalries that you think mimics yours, one of these famous rivalries, you got to pick one of them, okay? First one is Rocky Balboa and Creed.
Ooh.
And I want an explanation from you as to why. You should try to pick two different ones. Next one is Harry Potter and Draco Malfoy. And the third one is Obi-Wan and Darth Vader.
Oh. I'll let Jesse go first.
Oh, wow. Man, that makes one of you a distinct villain.
Uh-huh. So that's so, yeah. And that's why I think what's okay. So I have a few different thoughts on this, but I think what stands out to me immediately is Rocky and Apollo.
Mm-hmm.
I think because for a number of reasons. One, they both are pretty determined at not losing. One of them might get a little bit more upset than the other at times, mm-hmm. But they're both grinding pretty
hard. A little bit of sportsmanship shared too, I think, between them.
Yeah. Number two, like ultimately deep down, they have respect for each other. And as we see, as time goes on, they become good friends.
Yeah.
To the point where Rocky's defending Apollo's honor.
Uh-huh.
Which I would absolutely defend Gibby's honor because he would die before me for sure.
Yeah.
And then third and maybe most importantly is I could totally see us wearing short shorts on the beach running and jumping.
We're gonna get that in a few months, I think.
Well, hopefully. So I was gonna say that's the exact scene that I want. And I feel the same way. I don't know who's Apollo and who's Rocky. I think it's probably a mix of both. You know, I feel the same way, Jesse. I know this is probably more for our friends. There are a lot of people that I
have friends.
And it was funny. And so I'm going to wrap up sort of my thoughts on the full year. Like, I think this is a great time for reflection. But, you know, someone asked me the other day, they were like, you know, what do you want to do with the podcast? What are you guys doing, et cetera, et cetera. And I was like, you know what? We're having fun. We enjoy it. We're, you know, I think the shows are getting better and better, and I hope the listeners feel that. But the things that have struck me over the last few conversations we've had, and even and with you guys too, right? Like, you started this brewery out of a garage, and there's no such thing as overnight success, right? Like, we had Ed Jurdy on with Band of Heathens. Like, I remember when in 2007, you know, before they were up for Grammy nominations or playing the Grand Ole Opry, he was playing at the University Motor Inn in Orono, Maine, right? And like, and Saurabh had to pay, you know, his own way into a recording studio. So I did want to thank every single guest that we've had on over the last 15 months. And I've got a full list. This is my parting shot, and then I'll throw it to you guys. But so we've had, you know, Logan, Joe Riccio, Sasha, Coach Hoy, Alex Bastow, Lindsay Pearson, Hillary Hartwick, Marissa Mackey, Selena McMichael, Rick, Stephanie, Nate, Bud, awesome. Mike Green, Hoove and Muldoon, Drew Benson, Bailey, all my brothers, your brother, Maddie, Aaron, John Barrows, Camp Sunshine, Bo, Joe, Steve Wright, Eric Pocock, Mike McFarland, Juice, Greg Koch, Ryan Harris, Ben Albright, Ryan Ripken, Adam Leach. I probably left a couple out, but the one thing that, like, my takeaway is the respect that I have for you, Jesse. Like, everyone we've had on has helped make this show available to 15 listeners at a time. And
minimum.
You know, maybe it's 100 at some point, but
you're trying to get him to see if he'll put it on at the brewery and just play it instead of music. It's a good play. It's a great, good play. But
so I wanted to plug everyone and thank you all for listening. Any parting shots, Jesse, Alex?
Yeah, I have one. You invited another AB on?
That's on Maddie.
Wow.
I am very quick to pass the buck, though.
he can't compare. Let's be honest. And he's going to hear that, and he's going to have to be okay with it. And I'll tell him on the side, hey, man, listen, you're a notch below. There's just, these are the realities of life.
No, but
it is what it is.
Honestly, thank you guys.
That's a lot of guests.
You're a blast. And well done, Jesse. You're now part of the Millie Boys. So whether you like it or not, you're the proud owner of probably $4.27 at the end of the
year.
Wow. I would have it no other way.
In coins.
I take from you, I will take.
Go Buffalo boys.
You guys are great. This is awesome. I love what you're doing. You guys keep doing what you're doing. It's entertaining. It's fun to listen to our friends. It's fun to listen to people that we don't know, the connections that you guys have made, interesting stories. The Millie boys, like it's cool, man. You guys do a great job. And I think it's just fun to have. I always respect friends that friends and family, whatever, that are trying to just do something maybe a little bit outside their comfort zone and take risks and do new things and just see where it goes. And you guys have clearly stuck to this. And so I think it's awesome. I love being an incredibly insignificant part of it when I'm able to be a part of it. So it's fun.
Yeah, they it's true. That was like kind of one of the reasons we started doing this, is both of us were sort of uncomfortable with the idea of doing it. We were like, let's just do something. And it's nice. It's fun. Plus, I get to learn. I learn so much. I'm better at a lot of things I do in my life outside of this because of the lessons I've learned from just having these conversations. It's anything. It's repetition. You do this enough, you get a little bit better at it, but then you start to figure out the things to ask and the things to talk about to pull out like genuine, authentic conversation. I think, I don't know, Gib, I know that was the goal when we started was, yeah, we're going to do just fireside chats on a loop and just try to learn stuff.
And who knows?
But it's a blast getting to bring your buddies on and just like bring, it does feel very Simmons-y, like bring all your friends in and let everybody else learn their stories. Like Stern does this, like everyone does that. And they're the most fun podcasts and shows to listen to because you kind of, you're like a voyeur into that person's whole ecosystem and world. And I don't know, I think we're interesting enough. This collection of lunatics that we've put together, we were definitely interesting enough to listen to.
And we have the ace in the hole. We have America's best friend.
Yep.
Well, personally, I just do it for the money.
Yeah, that's fine. And that's fair. those checks, I don't know where they are.
Are you 100 area?
The Billy Boy cash is in escrow. Gibby's saving it so he can buy everybody Broncos jerseys.
Oh, no.
Denver foot pie. Shut down. Merry Christmas, everyone. Thank you, guys.
Later, boys. We'll be right back.